The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Now, tomorrow the Dáil adjourns for recess, with the past year being full of dramatic debate and deliberation. Well, joining me to look back at the winners and the losers of the Dáil in the first half of the year, at least, maybe the last part of the year, are some of the most prestigious commentators, can we say, of proceedings in Dáil Éireann. It's Gerard Howlan, who's public affairs consultant and Irish Times columnist and political editor of the Irish Times, Pat Leahy, even. You're both very welcome, gentlemen. Thanks for coming in this afternoon. Pat, you've been down in the Dáil. No doubt it was like was it like sports day down in Dáil Éireann today, when they're all breaking up and excited and giddy.
There's a little bit of giddiness around. I mean, you can imagine the excitement now when they hear of the appointment of the new Irish manager. You know, given the transformation that has taken place in Fine Gael with a new manager. You know, so there's the final votes will be tonight. The way it works over the course of the Dáil's week, which is, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, normally, is that the votes are grouped together, or nearly all the votes are grouped together on a Wednesday night. So TDs have to be there for those. So they'll have the votes tonight. I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, some of them go for a few beers somewhere. Maybe. And then they will slip away tomorrow. We should say that though the Dáil is rising tomorrow, the Cabinet will be meeting for probably another 2 weeks. So there is still work to be done, and there are still outstanding issues. There's a couple of bills that are likely to be published in the next couple of weeks. And there is the issue of the RTE funding, which the Taoiseach has said repeatedly will be completed by the end of this month. So while the Dáil is rising, there's still a few things to be done.
Yeah, but huge change this session, hasn't there been? And even in the government's makeup, you know, changes that we're just not used to. Like, you know, we've had Minister for Finance changing, we've had Taoiseach changing. So, like, if Mary Lou MacDonald is coming at us with a message of change, she's behind the pace a little bit, you know.
I mean, I don't recall a Dáil term like it that saw such change in an existing government that itself didn't change, whilst at the same time such continuity in a way. And if that sounds paradoxical, I mean, Leo Varadkar left, which was, you know, that was an earthquake, political earthquake. Simon Harris replaced him, of course. Then Simon Coveney left as part of that reshuffle as well. And we hear today that he's not going to stand again. So there is this really, you know, this churn in Fine Gael. There's new members of the cabinet. Then, as you say, Minister for Finance Michael McGrath left. And that was significant in itself, I think, because himself and Pascal Donoghue have probably been the most important axis of this government. So McGrath's departure changes the dynamic within government. But it also means that because Michael McGrath was taking up the European Commissioner's nomination, Micheál Martin wasn't. Mm. And the fact that he didn't go, if you like, was also one of the important events of the week. And then in the last week, we've seen change in the leader of the Green Party. And even though Eamon Ryan and Catherine Martin will both stay in the cabinet, at the very top, the very kind of crucible of decision making within this government is the three leaders. They meet every Wednesday or every Monday night before Tuesday's cabinet meeting with their advisors. And there's been, you know, two of them have changed in the last couple of months. Roderick O'Gorman having his first leaders meeting on Monday night.
Yeah, it's extraordinary how used to change we've gotten at that level. You know, any one of those things happening before would have been cataclysmic. A minister leaving a couple of weeks before a budget in normal times would have been cataclysmic. But anyway, Gerry, let's talk to you about the winners and the losers, because I know you're good at evaluating people. So for you, who did well in this Dáil term?
Well, I think Michael McGrath did well because he's a European Commissioner designate. So that's certainly a definition of success. Jack Chambers did well because he's a Minister for Finance. So that's another mark of success. Roderick O'Gorman did well because he's now a party leader. Simon Harris did spectacularly well because he's a party leader of Taoiseach. So that's a lot of success. And I suppose in terms of substance, I mean, we're talking about change, it's certainly a lot of churn. But actually, things have stayed the same for now. But I think all of the churn will become change in the autumn, because in the context of a budget and election, the rubber will hit the road. Mm. And all these new people on their new bicycles or whatever they're pedalling, you know, they will be found out, or they will win or lose. And they will be put to the test in a way they are not now in this term.
There's a huge churn as well, you know, in Fine Gael. We mentioned Simon Coveney there as well, but he now becomes today the 12th Fine Gael TD.
And more to come.
You had a very interesting piece about this at the weekend, where you went through the numbers of, so we know of 11, now 12, the possible number of people who might go.
So if all the people who may go,
in Fine Gael,
if you like, yeah, go, it will be 17. So more than half of their current parliamentary party strength. And, you know, you talk to people in Fine Gael who put a positive spin on that. They say, yeah, but, you know, we've got great candidates coming through and so forth. And a party, you know, political party needs to renew itself. And those things may well be true. But electorally, it's harder to win a seat when you don't already have one. Mm. So incumbency, in fact, there was... I did some reading about this in preparation for that piece that you mentioned, and there's a couple of academics who attempted, as academics had to do, to quantify the advantage of incumbency.
Yes, yes.
And on average, they judged that it made you 18% more likely to win a seat if you were already a TD. And what that means, I think, is that Fine Gael is starting with, you know, playing up the hill, really, when it comes to the election.
There will be more independent TDs standing at the next election than Fine Gael TDs.
Gerry, that's a very interesting point. And also, it's starting to seem like the motivation for all three leaders to stay the distance is more compelling, right? So you've got that period of time that Simon Harris needs to get those candidates to replace the old ones. Micheál Martin to stay on to maybe put together a new government again. Roderick O'Gorman to try to get his arms around the Green Party and maybe to do something to elevate their vote. We haven't talked about the losers then. Who for you were the losers in this Dáil term?
Well, just one big win, I think, just as he's literally leaving, or a few days after he left, Eamon Ryan, you know, the decrease in carbon emissions of 6.8%.
So this is another winner.
A winner in the context of growth. It's the first time since the end of the 19th century that economic growth has been decoupled from carbon. Mm. So it's an astonishing change that in years to come, as it builds, will seem a huge
They've
turning
been successful
point
in government
economically.
With their policies, haven't they, Pat? The Greens.
I think they've achieved a lot of what they set out to achieve. Now, they will ship political damage for that, and the local and European election results were, you know, an indication of that. I'm not convinced, or as convinced as some people are, though, that they face a wipeout at the general election.
Really?
No, I'm not, because I'll tell you why. I think that come the next election, more people will be convinced that climate change is something that requires immediate government attention. There'll be more of those people at the next election than there were at the last election. Now, that doesn't guarantee the Greens anything, but it gives them an audience to speak to. Mm. And I can see them holding on to some of those seats, particularly in Dublin. I think outside Dublin, they might struggle. But I think that there's certainly an audience for them.
But why wasn't that reflected then in the local elections or the European elections at all?
Well, it was, because they had pockets of success. As Labour, the Labour Party, by the way, had pockets of success
in urban areas, rural areas.
So in Pembroke they topped the poll, and a couple of other places in Dublin they topped the poll. But they will struggle outside those. But I mean, that's kind of typical for small parties. In like all small parties Irish system, whether they've been in government or not, they kind of live on the edge, don't they?
Yeah, it's a cyclical nature to the success or failure of them. Gert, you still
have losers.
Sinn Féin.
Sinn Féin are losers.
And what about,
And they're losers in terms of votes, they're losers in terms of expectation, and they're losers in terms of where they are in terms of their own coherence. I'm just not quite sure what they're for, where they stand for. I don't think they're sure. They had a very good win in Northern Ireland in the Westminster elections. I think they're all over the place here, and it'll be interesting to see if they can get it together again in the next few months in time for the election.
Pat, what do you think?
Yeah,
Mary Lou MacDonald did it before, though. She had a very bad local election.
So let's not forget forget, in 2019, very bad local and European elections, which itself was preceded in 2018, the year before that, by a very bad presidential election.
That's right, if
you remember. But she turned it around and they had this extraordinary general election in 2020. So, you know, just because something happens in local and European elections, we know that's not necessarily the turnout is different. The question that is asked of voters is different. But I do agree with Jared to the extent that it seems to me they are squeezed on two sides.
What?
They're squeezed amongst their working class traditional nationalist base, where they're being hit, I think, on the immigration issue, and they are squeezed by their new middle class progressive voters who being progressive middle class voters are inherently promiscuous in their political choices, and they have other options. They have the Social Democrats and a rejuvenated Labour and Greens all fluttering their eyelashes at them, and at the more radical extreme of that, they have People Before Profit doing the same thing, saying, you know, why would you vote for Sinn Féin, you know, which is promising. And if you look at Mary Lou McDonald's message for the 6 months before the elections was, we're not going to be too radical. We're not going to change those things that you don't want. I did an interview with her just before Christmas last year in which she said, you know, we're not going to change Ireland's economic model. Now, that's all very well, and it's sensible for a party that's preparing for government. But if you are a young, disenfranchised, unhoused voter and you are thinking, hold on a minute, what I'm actually looking for is a radical change in the way this country is run, then I might have been voting for Sinn Féin in 2020, but I'm not likely to vote for them this year.
And George, that speaks to what you mentioned there, is you don't know what they stand for anymore.
No, I don't.
What can they do?
So they've successfully reassured corporate Ireland and corporations internationally. And as Pat says, if you thought you were shaking your fist at the establishment,
they now look like the establishment.
They now look like the establishment. It isn't change, as many of their supporters would have imagined it, that was going to really shake things up. And discomfort the comfortable, and Sinn Féin are no longer in the business of discomforting the comfortable, which then poses a big issue for many of their people, because that was precisely their mission.
Look, we're running out of time, but before I let you go, I want to get, in a ministerial sense, a big winner and a loser from the cabinet.
Jared, well, I will give you a big loser. It's 10 years later, and in every year a new mental health bill has been promised, which is really necessary for some of the most, you know, people in the most fragile situations. And again, another dull term, again the bill not published. And there are sectoral issues like that of substance where it's not being delivered on. And that, for me, certainly stands out as a significant failure.
And yet all political parties are constantly talking about the ambition to solve this particular issue. What do you think is going wrong?
So, in fairness, there's a lot of good people putting in a lot of work, and the Minister of State, Mary Butler, is very committed. But it is complicated. It's the size of a telephone book, and it has not been dragged out of the ether, because it never becomes an overriding priority within the health matrix, which is wired to hospitals.
Ministerial winner?
Ministerial winner, my God. Well, Jack Chambers, obviously. And I suppose Micheál Martin is another.
Yeah, yeah. Pat, coming to you on that then, who do you think has been very successful from a cabinet perspective?
Well, I'd agree with Chair about Jack Chambers. If you were to say to me 6 months ago, you know, that by the time of the summer recess, Jack Chambers would be the heir apparent to the leadership of
and he is the heir apparent, isn't he? Really,
he was made deputy leader, and now he's made minister for finance. You know, so if Fianna Fáil are back in government, then you know he is presumably minister for finance again, and he is the heir apparent. Now, we do know that, first of all, I don't think Micheál Martin is going anywhere soon.
No,
and secondly, that the leader of Fianna Fáil doesn't get to nominate his successor. That's a decision taken in context of the time.
Micheál is now the second longest serving leader since De Valera, and I have a sense of a man who wants to outlive even De Valera. I mean, he is going nowhere anytime soon.
Yeah, I mean, there's a sense in the party, and there was some reporting about this last week in one of the Sunday papers, that, you know, he's getting ready for a run at the Oris.
Do you think that's true?
I'd be amazed, I think.
Very young man, he might be bored up there.
I think he wants to be Taoiseach again.
Yeah,
that's a better job.
I think you're right. Pat, finally, just before I let you go, a minister performed badly in this?
I think notwithstanding his victory in the Green leadership contest, has been a very difficult 6 months for Roderick O'Gorman. He has, I think he struggled dealing with the various aspects of the immigration issue. And I think whilst, you know, I mean, that certainly hasn't been solved, it's been moved off the streets of Dublin, which I think many people perceive as an amelioration of the situation. But that was very much, I think, run from the Taoiseach's department rather than the immigration department. And I think that he was caught badly offside on the referendums, which went down so badly.
Well, look, gentlemen, we could obviously sit here and talk about this for hours, all three of us, but we'll have to leave it there for now. Thank you both very much for coming in. That was Pat Leahy, the political editor of the Irish Times, and Gerard Howland, public affairs consultant. Thank you both very much.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.